Today on EdgeFX.
We believe that people of faith have a great responsibility to stand up for environmental and climate justice and address the concerns and calamities of the poor and marginalized communities, those with the lowest ecological footprints, yet they are the most impacted by natural and unnatural disasters. It is a moral issue.
Anna Gade, professor of environmental humanities and Islamic studies, speaks with Huda Al-Kaf, founder and director of Wisconsin Green Muslims. They discuss Al-Kaf's widely recognized organization, Wisconsin Green Muslims, which advocates for environmental justice, inclusion, and equity across the state and beyond. Al-Kaf explains some of the organization's most successful initiatives, like Faith in Solar, which encourages renewable energy use, and their current project, Greening Ramadan, in which communities across the country commit to sustainable practices in the holy month of Ramadan. Linking faith with a responsibility to shared resources, Al-Kaf speaks to the unifying power of solar energy to build connections across various religious groups in Wisconsin.
On behalf of EdgeFX, good afternoon and welcome to Huda Al-Kaf, the founder and director of Wisconsin Green Muslims, an environmental justice organization focused on connecting faith, environmental justice, and sustainability through education and service. Hello, Huda, and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
I guess the first question today would be about choices. The notion of Islam and the notion of environmental justice and activism are both very broad fields, and I know that you have several focused initiatives right now that you're working on in Wisconsin. I'm wondering how it is that areas like solar energy and rainwater harvesting have become the projects that you've selected to really put your energy and initiative into at this time.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Green Muslims, we started in 2005, and we've been working on many, many issues. So, like, we wanted to work on everything, really, and we still do. We divide the whole year into different themes, and every month is a certain theme. So we cover water, food, waste reduction, solar energy, transportation justice, and so on and so forth. But water and sunlight and solar energy in particular have touched our hearts, and we just moved with it with our initiatives. So we have two initiatives since 2016. So Wisconsin Green Muslims is leading Wisconsin Faith and Solar Initiative, which brings people of faith and spirituality together to care for Earth while reinvesting their saved money into their missions and building stronger communities. And with that, we also have the Wisconsin Faithful Rainwater Harvesting, which abbreviation of it is Farah, which means joy in Arabic. So both solar and water, we move them together as sacred gifts and sacred trusts. For both initiatives, they have three components in their work. First, the social and educational component, where we're building a peer learning circle of those who installed solar or green infrastructure and those aspiring to install solar or green infrastructure, sharing information, stories, and experiences. Secondly, we have the financial component, where we provide free and discounted remote and on-site solar assessments and consultations regarding possible financial models and grants. And we love spreading the good news. So we love telling people your site is a solar promising site, or your solar has a promising green infrastructure site, and how we can help you. Thirdly is the spiritual component, where we see sunlight and water as the commons. No one owns them, and everyone should have access to them as a form of energy in terms of solar. And so, as I mentioned, sunlight is a sacred gift and sacred trust. We need to appreciate it more and welcome it into our lives, congregations, homes, instead of turning our backs to it and switching electricity coming from fossil fuel sources such as coal and gas. In our work, we are tapping into the unifying power of solar energy and water. And we found through several polls in 2016 and 2017 that solar energy has high approval ratings among people from diverse political, social, geographical, and educational backgrounds nationally and in Wisconsin.
I see the emphasis both on diversity as well as environmental justice. How does Wisconsin Green Muslims reach out to other organizations in partnership on these initiatives?
Yeah, with the Wisconsin Faith and Solar, we are also leading Faith Communities for Equitable Solar Initiative, where we are generating from the people, by the people, just solar principles through reaching out to a wide variety of constituents by listening sessions, conversations, etc. We've been reaching out to youth, students, religious leaders, faith communities from different backgrounds, farmers, returning citizens, environmentalists, climate advocates, solar installers, and so on and so forth. So our question is, what could be Wisconsin's just solar principles? What are the guiding principles to the solar industry rooted in our values of justice, equity, and inclusion? And the work is happening with interfaith partners in the Midwest. So it goes beyond Wisconsin and it's applicable to other areas as well. Yeah, so with that, with the solar power work, we've reached, as I mentioned, about 18 different faith traditions in Wisconsin, more than 1,300 individuals and counting from wide, diverse communities. So it really helps us connect with people. Yeah.
And Wisconsin Green Muslims is really recognized nationally by organizations like Interfaith Power and Light, the Sierra Club, and you were even invited to the White House in 2015. Recently, speaking on the national level, I see that you gave a webinar for a multi-year initiative with the Islamic Society of North America about Green Ramadan. I assume this would be just outreach to Muslim communities. Can you speak a little bit about that program and how it reaches a diversity of Muslims in the U.S. and possibly farther afield?
Yeah, one of the first Wisconsin Green Muslims' work in 2005 was the Greening Ramadan campaign, which is not only continuing on strong, but has also spread to many Muslim communities nationally. In Wisconsin, we have a daily Ramadan calendar based on our monthly themes work, where each month we focus on a certain theme, as I mentioned earlier, such as climate change, water, Interfaith Earth Month, food, fair trade, community vegetable gardens, renewable energy, energy efficiency, waste reduction, transportation, justice, etc. In Ramadan, the holy Islamic holy month of the Quran and daily fasting from dawn till dusk, which begins in a few days with the sighting of the new crescent, we encourage daily acts such as carpooling, walking, biking, or using public transit to the mosque, using reusable water bottles, washable dishes, cups and utensils, eating less meat, planting a tree, performing eco-ablution, which is as Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did by using two handfuls of water for ablution before prayer, reading the 1,500 verses in the Quran that have environmental or nature-oriented messages or care for earth or your neighbor, power down, unplug, pray outside, grow food, waste less, purchase gifts responsibly, etc. They're all posted on our website, wisconsingreenmuslims.org, with a tab there, Green Ramadan. So in 2015, the Islamic Society of North America established a Green Masjid, now called Green Initiative Task Force, which I'm a member of. And we develop and share information through webinars, articles, etc., on the Greening Ramadan campaign, which primarily focuses on the asks are for the National Green Ramadan campaign is for mosques to do the following: food and water conservation, energy efficiency, reusable, biodegradable items, recycling and waste reduction, and giving a green khutbah or lecture during the month of Ramadan. So we primarily, that's the information that we provide in the webinars and the articles, and provide help to the Muslim community all over how to guide them to do these activities.
What has the response been in communities and different masjids in North America? And have you seen any change over the years, either during the month of Ramadan or in other months of the year?
Yes, there has been masajid and have been implementing some parts or aspects of the Green Ramadan campaign. That's why we call it Greening Ramadan. It's a process. And there are Green Ramadan campaigns in like 20 states now, more than maybe I would say like 90 mosques have participated. Like they register through this Greening Ramadan campaign that they would do one or more of these asks during the Green Ramadan. And then through the Green Initiative Task Force, we've recognized some of the mosques. So nationally, there were two mosques that have been recognized in 2015 and 2016. And there is another one now will be recognized in 2017-18, both, as have done implemented Greening Ramadan work and reported back to the committee.
And in addition to this, Wisconsin Green Muslims also collaborates with non-faith-based organizations, not just groups that aren't Muslim organizations, but groups that aren't religious at all. Could you talk a little bit more about your work with such institutions and organizations, either locally in Milwaukee or more at the state or national level?
Yeah, our work would not have been possible because we are a small, very small volunteer-based group. So we wouldn't have been able to do much without partnership, collaboration, shared leadership with other organizations. The pathway, the process has not been easy. So we've been always the organization or the group that knocks on doors of many, many, many organizations asking them to share resources or to have us part of the networks. We have been always the group that's been asking to be included in the space. And it took several trials and many years to be part of networks, which is the great thing to be when you are part of a network. Then you are you have access to these resources and information and opportunities. So we are a member of Milwaukee Environmental Consortium, which is a group of environmental organizations in the Milwaukee area. And the model there is really interesting. It's like it's not just sharing resources, but also space-wise. Like the offices are all in shared space and shared printer, shared copier, shared everything, and just access to the free information and the partnership and collaboration on the spot. So the model is wonderful there. We are the first faith-based organization that becomes part of the Milwaukee Environmental Consortium. And then we're also a member of U.S. Climate Action Network, which has opened their doors as well to environmental justice communities and are moving towards more equitable partnerships there. So I'm the co-chair of the 100% Renewable Energy User Group there, moving the conversation of renewable energy nationally. And there is also Midwest Network, Environmental Network, that we are also a member of. So we partner with 100 organizations, Muslim environmental organizations in the Midwest. So partnership has been great for us, but it's not an easy way moving forward. We hope that it becomes easier for other organizations, small organizations, environmental justice organizations to be included and welcomed into these networks.
Yeah, we hope so too. And I can see how inclusion is working on a lot of different registers here. Diversity of issues on which you're involved, from energy to resource management to conservation and social and environmental equity, and then also the ways in which the organizations and communities themselves are recognized for diversities. I'm wondering how being faith-based affects the message, outreach, and activism of your organization.
Yeah, we believe that people of faith have a great responsibility to stand up for environmental and climate justice and address the concerns and calamities of the poor and marginalized communities, those with the lowest ecological footprints, yet they are the most impacted by natural and unnatural disasters. It is a moral issue, and the Muslim voice and the interfaith voice standing united for environmental justice and care of Earth is instrumental in mobilizing the faithful for the common good. So we believe it's important to be included, to be participant, and to be leading the work.
Huda, I know you're an ecologist and you have degrees in conservation ecology, sustainable development, and environmental education. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you came to this work and your commitment and your involvement in this organization more generally.
Yeah, believe it or not, I have been an environmentalist since I was a child. Back then, I remember being asked the famous question from the adults in my family and my teachers, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Remember that question?
Yeah, sure do.
To everyone's surprise, my answer was an ecologist, an environmentalist. I was still and am fascinated by nature and all its inhabitants, and I wanted to learn more about them and the connections between them. I earned degrees in chemistry and biology, but was yearning for a more interdisciplinary field of study. Ecology is the study of interconnections and interdependence among everything in space and time, and was my higher education investment in conservation, ecology, and sustainable development, and science, environmental education. The continuous attempt at establishing connections and gaining holistic network insights is the driving force for my ongoing work to build strong and sustainable bridges between the environmental teachings in Islam, other faiths and spiritualities, and my university environmental training and education.
Is there anything else that you wish that listeners of this podcast would know? I know you do a lot of speaking to a number of different kinds of organizations and groups. There must be certain questions that you're used to hearing. Is there something in particular that you would like to say to us right now?
Two things. One, just want to uplift the basic principles of environmental justice that guide our work, which are to ensure public involvement of low-income and minority groups in decision-making, preventing disproportionately high and adverse impacts of decisions on low-income and minority groups, and assuring low-income and minority groups receive proportionate share of benefits. We would like that to be uplifted. And then the second thing is that we did a study, like a poll, in Wisconsin, and it could be applicable to other areas, where the question was, how can the unifying power of solar energy help overcome Islamophobia in Wisconsin? That was the case. So we did like a Google survey test where we had two frameworks. One is a Muslim framework and the other one is a Christian framework with the same message. So solar energy reduces air pollution, saves money, and creates jobs in our communities, which is why religious groups across Wisconsin are installing solar panels on their places of worship. And we asked several questions such as, will you support renewable energy? Faith in Solar, which is led by Wisconsin Green Muslims, match or agree with your own values? And do you want to know more about the Faith in Solar initiative? With the results, the funny thing is that the pollsters, when they gave me back the results, they told me, are you sitting down? I told them, yes. So they told me, well, the results are, and we looked into, of course, the results in detail, but the results were that there were no significant statistical difference in the responses that we received for both frameworks when we've reached 500 people in that survey. So that kind of gives me a hope in that the unifying power of solar energy can help overcome Islamophobia. It can help bring people together. It's definitely a power that needs to be welcomed and appreciated into our lives, homes, and congregations, etc., etc.
Well, in that spirit, Huda El-Kaf, we all wish you a happy and blessed Ramadan in 2018. Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you so much for being with us at EdgeFX today and sharing your perspective about Wisconsin Green Muslims.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Anna Gade, Professor of Environmental Humanities and Islamic Studies at the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin, speaking with Huda El-Kaf, founder and director of the Milwaukee-based organization, Wisconsin Green Muslims. Learn more at wisconsingreenmuslims.org. Professor Gade's forthcoming book, Muslim Environmentalisms, will be available from Columbia University Press. You've been listening to EdgeFX, a production of CHE, the Center for Culture, History, and Environment, and the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Today's episode was produced by Brian Hamilton and me, Sarah Thomas. The music you're listening to is by Julian Lynch. We'll be back with episodes featuring Professor of Poetry Lynn Keller and a roundtable conversation between historian Pete Daniel, sociologist Jess Gilbert, and environmental historian Anastasia Day. You can get all of our episodes sent straight to your computer or mobile device by subscribing to the EdgeFX podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or TuneIn. If you like the show, please leave us a rating and a review. That really helps us connect with new listeners. You can follow us on Twitter at EdgeFXMAG. And as always, keep up with a steady flow of great content about cultural and environmental change across the full sweep of human history at edgefx.net.